Well, good morning. Happy New Year. It is great to see each one this morning. We have a number of guests in our assembly. We're glad to have you visiting with us. We have some that are from out of town that are here. We have others that are from the community. And we're glad to have you a part of our assembly this morning. We have a number of new members, as has been mentioned already this morning and recognized and mentioned in the Family Matters. We have others visiting with us. We'd like to tell you that if you're looking for a church home, we'd be glad to have you a part of our family here. We have, I think, a very warm and loving family and people that will receive you. Find our fellowship, be helpful in your quest to draw closer to God. So we welcome you and hope you'll come back and be with us. Well, it is a new year, and we are beginning a new theme and a new direction and talking about some things that I think will help us really focus. And this morning I want to talk about focus. And what's wrong? Oh, okay. Is there a problem with the projector? Let's see. Well, that's a little better, but that's not quite. Is that okay? Everybody can see it pretty good now? Not quite so good? Not okay. Well, that's pretty good. No, it's a little better, but not okay. Okay, how's that? All right, okay, everybody. We like to be focused, don't we? And it's a little frustrating and disconcerting when we're not focused. I was reminded of a story, and I told our focus group leaders this, and it's actually the material you're going to get today, but I got to share because I don't want anybody to miss this story. It's a funny, kind of a funny story. In fact, I was reminded of, again, our family went to a movie over the holidays. And I don't know what happened, how they do movies. I know they don't have big projectors with film like they did in the old days. But something happened, and there was a glitch, and the ushers came in and said, it'd be about 10 minutes before the movie starts. And the lights come up, and everybody kind of got restless, went out and bought popcorn, whatever. And then he came back in and said, it'd be another 10 minutes. And then he came in and gave us free passes, which kind of soothed the feeling. And, you know, about 30 minutes later, the movie started. But it reminded me of a friend of mine. I was in a seminar one time. His name's Mike. And Mike was telling about going to a movie, and this is back in the old days, you know, the big projectors. And I can remember as a kid sometimes they didn't have it focused when they'd start the movie, and it'd be kind of like my first slide was. And he said he and his wife had gone to this movie, and it started out, it was out of focus. And you thought in a minute it'd get focused. Well, it kind of went on the first few frames of the movie, and it never focused. And Mike said this guy stood up in the middle of the crowded movie theater and turned around and yelled to the projectionist real loud, "Focus!" And Mike's wife said, "Mike, sit down." Sometimes I tell that I did it and it's funnier, but I think Mike was making that up too. I don't think that happened to Mike. But it is kind of frustrating when we get out of focus, but not just in what we're trying to look at, but in our lives. And the direction we're going and what it is that we need to be focused on and thinking about and directed toward. Focus is better than being out of focus. So this year, and as we begin this year, we want to talk about restoring our focus. Because it is easy to get out of focus. I can know times, I've been wearing glasses since I was a freshman in high school. And you know, gradually as your sight kind of, your glasses are not working quite as well, sometimes you don't notice it as much because it's real gradual. And then one day you kind of wake up and say, you know, I don't think I'm reading that sign as good, or I'm not reading as good. And you go to the optometrist, and then they put these signs up, one or two, one or two, one or two. I think they try to trick you sometimes, right, Sheree? You trick, I don't know. But then you get one and you go, wow. I didn't realize I needed glasses, new glasses this badly. I was really out of focus. And you know, spiritually, our lives can get like that. We can go along for days and weeks and months and maybe sometimes years and get our spiritual eyes out of focus and not really even realize that we need a correction. So this year we want to look at how to get focused And we want to start off this new year and looking on how we can get focused right in the beginning of the year. Now, Luke read the passage in Philippians 3, and I'm going to use that as a text this morning to help us, like Paul, get focused on the year. And he gives us some pointers here, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe will be of a great deal of help to us as we start off in the very beginning and think about ourselves getting focused. The first thing that we need to do is begin by focusing upon improvement. We must focus upon improvement. And to do that, I need to see the need. It's hard to help anybody that doesn't see the need. If you don't see the need for improvement, you're not going to take the steps to improve. In this text, the Apostle Paul here actually talks about, of all people, him seeing the need. He said, I haven't already attained. He said, I haven't been perfected. I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul was still working. He was still growing. He was still maturing. He was still striving. Paul was still trying to do better. He had not achieved that completeness. And so if we're going to think about in 2013, growing and improving, I've got to believe that there is a need for improvement on my part. But then I need to examine myself and figure out how I need to improve. You know, I've heard people say, oh, preacher, I want to tell you my goal for the new year, I'm going to be a better Christian. I want to tell you what, this year, you watch me. Oh, I'm going to be a better Christian this year. I'm going to get better. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to get better? I mean, that's kind of vague. That's a very nebulous goal. I mean, that's like having a financial goal. Say, oh, this year I'm going to save more money. Oh, this year I'm going to. Well, if you end the year, if you end up a penny more, you save more. That's not much of a goal. And so we need to examine ourselves. How can we be a better Christian? How can we grow? How can we improve? Paul said, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you're disqualified. And so I need to get inside myself and look at myself and see where I'm falling short and see how it is that I need to grow. There is a warning that comes to all of us. Therefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Too often, we think we're better than we are. We think we're stronger than we are. We think we're further down the road. And we need to honestly focus inwardly and examine ourselves and see what we need to do. But then the third thing, after I see the need, and after I examine myself to see those areas that I'm falling short, I need to grow, I need to believe that I can improve. I've got to believe that I can do it. And this is what Paul is saying here in Philippians 3. And in other passages, Paul talks about that he believes that he can do better. He said, I discipline my body in 1 Corinthians 9, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself shall become disqualified. And what Paul's saying here is that I believe that I can improve. I'm going to discipline my body. I'm going to bring in this subjection. I'm going to work harder so that I can be better. Paul believed that he could do that. Bad will be the day for the man that thinks he's achieved everything that he needs to achieve when the life that he's living, the thoughts that he's thinking, the deeds that he's doing, that he has reached the ultimate spiritually. Bad will be the day for that man. You need to believe that you can improve and then work to do it. Well, the other thing here, besides beginning by focusing on improvement, is to forget the past. And this is what Paul says in the text here, that there are some things, Paul said, that I'm going to forget those things which are behind. And some things are better forgotten. You know, one of the big mistakes that people make oftentimes is living in the past. We can learn from the past, but not live in the past. People that make a living in counseling make a lot of money from people that can't let go of the past. And they go to them and pay $150 an hour to talk to them about all their problems and their problems in the past. Amen. And they're holding on to the past. Paul said, I forget the things which are behind. Now let's think about what are some things that Paul maybe had to let go of in the past. One of the things would be past sins. You know, Paul said at one point he was a chief of sinners. And you look back in Acts 8, Paul held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. Paul was consenting to the death of Christians. Paul got letters from those in high places to persecute Christians. And Paul looked at his life and said, I made a lot of mistakes. But Paul didn't wallow in that. And Paul did not beat himself up over that. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so don't wallow in the past. If we're going to refocus and get focused on the new year, on what we need to be focused on, we can't be living in the past and hanging on to the sins of the past. Another thing to forget is past injuries by brethren. Again, I look at the Apostle Paul and look at those that he talks about in 2 Corinthians 11, had hurt him and had harmed him, had misrepresented him, had lied about him, how he had been persecuted and stoned and beaten and shipwrecked, and Paul could have fumed and fussed about his brethren, how they treated him and criticized him. But instead, we find Paul a number of times in the Bible praying for his brethren, praying for them. Has anybody hurt you? Has anybody slighted you? Has anybody not shook your hand, or maybe haven't looked at you just right, or haven't recognized you? Did I leave your name out of the bulletin? Did I misspell your name? Chances are real good I did that, all right? Are you gonna hang on to some slight or some injury or some hurt and not reach your potential in 2013 because you're hanging on to past injuries and slights? Let go of those things if we're going to focus upon the things that we need to focus on. And then past persecutions. No one likes to be persecuted. Paul said, I'm not worrying about past persecutions. He said, I'm moving on. And these things that happen, Paul allowed these things to even make him stronger. And so we've got to let go of those kind of things too. And but you know, sometimes past victory. He was an aged man in prison in Rome. He had already made 3 missionary tours. He had come to Rome. This was his 4th major journey. He had written most of the epistles. Depending on what the date you believe on this, there may be a couple more that he wrote after this. But he wrote about 13. So he'd already written most of them. So you know what Paul could have been doing? He could have been sitting back. Man, I'm the great Apostle Paul. I've written more letters, taken more trips, converted more people. I'm the great Apostle Paul. I wonder what he was doing. And there he was toward the end of his life. He's not reveling in his past victories. And sometimes we can do that as Christians and live in the past of what we did in the past. Churches can do that. I visited a place one time, and you would know the place, you would know the preacher. He's since passed on now. But he had moved there, and he wanted to tell me about the church. And it was an old building, and it was an old church. And all the good they'd done, all the missionaries they'd sent out, and all the great preachers that had preached in that pulpit. And he showed me around the building and told me all those stories. We got back in his office. He said, you know, that's one of my biggest problems here. These brethren are living in the past. You know, I'm reminded of a young preacher that tried out at a place recently. And the brethren in the business meeting said, well, if we hire you, what are you going to do for this church? He looked at the men, he said, gentlemen, I want to tell you what, if you hire me, I'll bring this church into the 20th century. And the men kind of looked down, kind of embarrassed, and someone actually said, preacher, I think you mean the 21st century. He said, no, I just want to get you all into the 20th century. Sometimes we can live in the past. You know the good old days, don't you? The 1950s and 60s. Yeah, that was the day, right? See, it depends on how old you are. Now, if you go back, some of you say, oh, it was the 1940s. And then for some of you younger, the good old days, the 1980s. Kind of depends on your perspective a little bit. But you know, any of us can live in the past. Let go of the past, forget the past victories, and let's get focused on the future. Well, the third thing Paul said I'm doing is I'm reaching for the things ahead. So he starts out and said, let's focus on improving, on attaining, on being perfected, on maturing, on growing. Let's forget the past and let's reach forward to the things which are before. You got to reach to what is ahead. You've got to reach forward. Now, some versions, if you have the NIV or others, it says straining toward the goal. This word in the Greek language, Kenny probably knows this word. It's a great big old long Greek word, but it was a word that was used in the first century of runners. It was used of those that ran in a marathon and so forth. And Barclay says that the picture of this word reaching forward or straining or stretching, depending on your version, pictures the runner as he is coming into the stadium, as he rounds the track and he is heading toward the finish line. And we've all seen that kind of a scene, haven't we? That's Usain Bolt, isn't it, Kenny? I think that is when he won the Olympics recently. Fastest man in the world. And look what he's doing, look what the other guys are. They are leaning forward. You any race like that, you'll see that when they come down to the tape, they're running, their arms are beating the air, their legs are stretching forward, and they are angled toward the tape with everything they've got. And sometimes it's a photo finish. And the person that leans the most wins the race. That's the Greek word here. You say, all of that's that one word? Yeah. That's the word. We would say, running flat out for the finish. Now, you know the difference between just taking a casual walk in the park and really working to exercise? We have a park close to our house, and well, not lately, because we wanted to keep warm, and so we haven't been walking out in the park. But when it's been warm, we walk in the park. And I see people walking. Say, are they burning any calories? Is this actually doing these people any good? Now, of course, I walk fast naturally. And Homer says, slow down, you know. And so I'm walking, you know, let's see. All right. Well, this is not even that kind of walking. This is running. This is running flat out for the finish. This is giving everything you got. Christianity is not just a walk in the park. It's not just a casual stroll. Christianity is running flat out for the finish. Reaching forward, straining toward the goal. Now, what are we going to reach toward? Well, let me just bullet a few things here for you that we need to be running flat out for the finish, straining and reaching forward to. How about the lost in our community? Are there not those that are lost and out of Christ that we need to reach? There is a soul that is dying that we need to save that soul from death, save that soul from the error of their way? Absolutely, all around us are lost people. Right in our neighborhood are lost people. In your neighborhood are lost people. We need to reach forward to that in 2013. We need to reach out to erring brethren. I wonder if this building here at Hickman Mills would hold everybody if those that have fallen away that still live in the metro area came back. I wonder if it'd hold them. There are people that have fallen away. And maybe it's time to refocus and to reach out and to see who we can win back. Yeah. Amen to that, right? Let's seek to win them back. Let's reach out to the erring. And that's what Jude said. Snatch others from the fire and save them. Snatch them from the fire. Reach out to those that are erring. Or how about to the weak? How about those that are weaker among us? You know, the Apostle Paul said, receive the one that's weak. Not judge them, not kick them out, not ostracize them. Receive them, accept them, encourage them, bring them in. Well, how about reaching out to the edification of the family here, the church family? We need to reach out to edification. We need to do the things that make for peace and to mutual edification, mutual ability. We need to reach out to that. And we need to reach out to personal growth. We've already indicated the need for us to grow personally and to realize that we can do a lot more than we think we can do. Paul said, we're bound to give thanks for you, brethren. It's just fitting because your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. Do you know your faith can grow? Is your faith stagnant and static? Or is it abounding and growing? Is it vibrant? In 2013, as we refocus, we need to seek growth. And then the potential in the body of Christ. I am convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that we haven't scratched the scratch on the surface of the potential we have in this church family. I believe that we have great potential to do things that we haven't even begun to do yet. And we need to get focused upon the things that are important. I talked a few weeks ago when the elders laid out what we're going to be doing this year and using our focus groups and how we're going to do this, that there are distractions. And I know it is so easy to get distracted by some little irritant or something that we don't agree with or some little problem or some little challenge or this or that or something else. Forget the distractions. They are hindering us. They are clouding our focus. And we need to get our spiritual eyes opened and aligned and focused upon the goals that are ahead of us and reach out to our potential that He, God, is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we think or ask according to the power that works in us. And when that happens, there will be glory to Him in the church, but Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Forever and ever, amen. Well, the fourth thing Paul said, as a result of that, I press. You begin by focusing on improvement. You forget the past. You reach for the things ahead. And then he said, press on. Press on. And that's what we got to do. We have got to press on. I press toward the goal. That means not giving up, not giving in, and not giving out. In 2013, brethren, let's press on. Let us press toward the goal. You've got a problem? Press on. You've had a setback? Press on. Have you lost a loved one? Press on. Do you feel discouraged? Press on. Have you experienced difficulties? Press on. Hey, are you facing a tough temptation? Press on. Are you finding physical ailments? Press on. Is your heart heavy? Press on. Is your mind anxious? Press on. Are you experiencing marital difficulties? Press on. Are you having family problems? Press on. Is your conscience hurting? Press on. I don't know what's going to happen in 2013. No one does. I can't predict the future. But I can tell you this. God wants us to press on. God wants us to be focused upon the things that we need to be focused on. And this year, and as we begin today for the next 7 weeks in our focus groups, we're going to do that. And we're going to get into the book of Acts and into the epistles, and we're going to talk about some things that are really important that we really need to focus on. We're going to strip away all these things that a lot of times we get caught up in that are non-essential and really get back to fundamentals, get back to basics, and focus on the things that are important. Everyone here is a part of this church family is in a focus group. I hope you will attend summer meeting after lunch and some in the middle of the afternoon and some this evening. I don't know when your group is meeting. Find out from your group leader and be a part of those focus groups. And come with an open mind and let God do a little eye surgery on you. See, and take the word, remove those cataracts. See, and those things are impeding your vision. And come and let's get focused. Laser-like focus. I wonder, Paul, I just wonder what we can accomplish this year at Hickman Mills if all of us can just be focused together as one. I think it would amaze even the most optimistic of us what God can do through us when we focus on the things that he wants us focused on. Can we do that? Could the congregation say amen?
Amen.
Let's do that. Let's focus together. Let's be everything God would have us to be. Turn your hymn books, if you're using a book, to the number suggested. We close our service this morning with a song of encouragement, invitation, with a plea for you to be focused. Maybe you've fallen away and reproached the name of Christ, and you would come this morning to make that known. Let us lift you in prayer. Maybe you're here not a Christian. Wow, what a great time. The first Sunday of the new year, starting off our new focus for you to get focused spiritually and through faith and repentance and baptism to put on Jesus and become a Christian. Would you do that this morning? Would you become a child of God and begin to focus on the things God wants? But I wonder how many, as we sing in just a moment, and as we stand and sing the song together, how many of us just need to say, Lord, forgive me for being such a derelict. Forgive me for allowing my vision to be clouded. Forgive me for allowing sin to blind me. God, help me be focused this year. And begin today with a renewed enthusiasm to focus on the things that God wants. That's our invitation and encouragement this morning. While together we stand and while we sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its spring. 'Tis the fount of love, the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.